Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. Today, we have State Legislature candidate for District 67, Tom Hansen. Tom, thank you for taking the time to come sit down with us.
Thank you, Aiden.
So we'll jump right into it. So to start, some of the key issues you list on your website are cutting taxes, education, tax subsidies, and improving rural infrastructure. So let's kind of walk through why each of those issues are important to you, starting with cutting taxes.
Well, I worked on the state referendum movement in 2020 when the state legislature tried to double our food taxes. They tried to increase and implement new service taxes. And also they were going to raise our fuel taxes, which really hurts rural Utah. So we fought against that. We had a referendum movement. Thanks to our local grocery stores, we were one of the first counties actually to have the percentage of signatures that were required in Emory County, thanks to Tom Potter and Mike Stewart, or Mark Stewart out in Roosevelt. They let us get in their stores, and that's where people were signing the petition very quickly. So I have a love for that. I really believe that we're overtaxed. Really, the state doesn't have a revenue problem. It has a spending problem.
So next issue, education. Why is that important to you?
Well, I've been an educator for nearly 30 years now. I'm getting close to retiring, and I really think I need to give back to the community. One thing that a lot of educators don't realize is how much the legislature really has an effect on schools and their ability to fund education in the classroom. I want to make sure more money gets back to educators in the classroom. Our districts are some of the lowest in the state. If you look at Emory School District, they're 41st out of 41. Carbon District is 36, and Duchesne District is like 35, or it might be switched on that. But nonetheless, we're amongst the bottom 10 in the state. That's a huge issue for us, and we need to figure out that, you know what, the type of funding formulas that the state is using is not working. We need to change those funding formulas from NESS funding, which is necessarily essential small school funding, and change that to a true weighted WPU, where we would give double the WPU to counties 4, 5, and 6 in the state of Utah.
So another one of those key issues kind of going along with taxes and budgeting is tax subsidies. Can you kind of walk us through why that's important to you?
Well, the funny thing about tax subsidies is that it seems to go to the legislators' donors, and especially at the state level. Well, most of our legislators live on the Wasatch Front. So who gets most of the tax subsidies? It's Wasatch Front communities. Now, the interesting thing about that is it creates more problems on the Wasatch Front. There are water problems, there are air pollution problems, their traffic problems. All those things are created because they keep giving subsidies to those businesses. The only subsidies actually that the state should be giving is into rural economic development, because that's where we have room for growth, and that's where the tax base is needed so that we can expand our state tax revenue overall.
And then that one of those final issues you list on your website is improving rural infrastructure. Can you kind of explain to the voters why this is such a big issue for you?
So I've talked to the Carbon County commissioners, and they said, you know what, there's so many businesses that would like to move out on Ridge Road, but we need a transformer out there so that they'll have the adequate amount of power that is needed so that they can grow and build their business. They can't do that. One company is not going to pay for that. What we need is we need a state to come in and help them in the short term with some property, with some infrastructure needs. And we need to help that on the county level. The county can't afford it, and it really is a state issue, because if we want state economic growth, we've got to make sure that we have the adequate infrastructure in our rural areas. The other thing is look at our roads. They decided not to be able to, environmentalists fought and won, and we're not able to build the railroad that goes over Indian Canyon and into the basin. Well, if that's the case, what are we doing? Well, all that oil is still getting on the railroad. It's just being trucked over the top of Indian Canyon, comes down into Price, and then it's loaded on the railroad. Well, if that's the case, we've got to have that road fixed. We've got to have the infrastructure on those roads. When things like that happen, our state needs to be responsive. Instead of, you know, painting beautiful murals under a I-15 corridor overpass, maybe we ought to actually build a road, and maybe we ought to actually have some electrical transformers out on Ridge Road. Those are the things that we need to focus on in our area, and currently those things aren't happening.
Moving on to the state Republican convention, at that convention you came away with 88% of the delegate vote. How do you feel this helps the momentum of your campaign going forward?
Well, so there were 60 delegates that were selected between Carbon, Emory, and Duchesne counties. The reason I was able to do so well is I was able to actually go and talk with them one-on-one. This kind of communicating, this mass communicating, I'm not near as good at. I'd love to talk with people one-on-one. If you'd ever like to call me, go ahead. 435-749-2411. That's my personal cell. I love talking to people one-on-one. That's how I win their trust. And I understood their issues. So that's one of the key things. I was talking to Kathy Haskell, who lives out in kind of Wellington area, and kind of the newer development there out there in Wellington. And she was saying, you know what, my husband's worked in the power plants, and yet we have this war on coal, and we need to keep and make sure that we have energy security in our area. Well, energy security only comes through being dispatchable, which means that it's able to carry a baseload, reliable, and affordable. Now, that's the problem, is that if you start going into renewable sources, those things are none of those. They are not dispatchable, they are not reliable, and they are not affordable. So in order for us to keep the energy we need to be secure and be able to turn the lights on and to keep our heat going and to keep our parents' oxygen machines running, sorry, my parents, your grandparents. So that's what we need, is we need that adequate energy that is going to be all those things. And so energy security needs to be at the top priority. And I learned that from some of our local delegates. That's how we learn local issues, is through them. Another one was JRI reform, which is Justice Reinvestment Initiative. I learned that from Adam, and he was one who was telling me all about it, and said, Adam Cox, he said, look, here's what's happening. We have so much recidivism in our jails. We have drug dealers who continue to take advantage of drug courts because we keep knocking them down to misdemeanors, and it's not the prosecutor's fault, it's not the judge's fault, it's not corrections fault. What it is it's the law. So we need to change that law on the state level. Those are some of the issues that I learn and talk about as I go to these state delegates. They are a key group of people. And like I said, they voted for me 88% at the state convention. It's because they know that I listen and that I care and that I want to change things for the better for rural Utah.
Moving on, let's talk about property taxes and centrally assessed properties. So one of your plans listed on your website is to take the funds from these centrally assessed property tax allocations and use them to benefit rural Utah. What's your plan of action to make this happen?
Well, first of all, this is a tough subject. It's one that most people don't really understand, but it impacts rural Utah immensely. There was an interesting news article in the Deseret News about Juab County and their school district having to pay back approximately $1 million because the centrally assessed valuations had gone down on their power plant out there. Well, same thing happens here. Our school district had to do that in Emory County when they reevaluated when the Biden administration said, hey, we're going to close the power plant in 2032. The funny thing is when it expanded back and the Biden administration walked back their steps and said, oh, well, no, we're okay, we're going to let you close in 2042. Did we get that property valuation back? Did we get those depreciated values back? You better believe we didn't. And so now the taxpayers are out that tax revenue. That's what we have to do on the state level, is make sure our centrally assessed values are being able to be responsive to when these federal rules come in. And we're not doing that currently. We really need to look at that. No one understands this, but 78% of our 78% of property assessments in Emory County come from centrally assessed. Around 30% in Carbon County come from centrally assessed. By the way, Carbon County used to be the same as Emory. The problem was when we shut down the Castle Gate power plant, of course, they lost all that centrally assessed value. So that's why we need to keep our power plants open. We need to keep making sure that energy is reliable, dispatchable, and affordable. And if we do those things, then we keep that tax base in our areas, and it takes the pressure off of our actual private property. Otherwise, our private property taxes and valuations, as Carbon County has seen, as Emory County is starting to see, and as Duchesne County has seen, those values and those assessments get passed to the private sector. And if they do, then we're in trouble. And it disproportionately hurts rural economies because such a high percentage of our tax base is centrally assessed. That's why we get in trouble in rural areas. That's why we need to change that on the state level so that more of those centrally assessed values, and when we lose some of that centrally assessed value, the state can make it up in our local areas, in our local counties.
So looking at your previous experiences, you've worked as a small business owner, a teacher for 29 years, a chair of the Emory County Republican Board and the Emory Telecom Board president, and led a tax referendum to prevent tax hikes on food, services, and fuel. How do you feel these experiences help prepare you for what a state legislature might bring?
I'm very service-oriented, and so are my kids. I have three kids, and one of them is in the military, one of them is in the Highway Patrol, and one of them serves farmers and ranchers in their interest as a Southeast Utah regional manager. So we are service-oriented. I've been service-oriented. I've loved serving in the education system and teaching kids. It's been a great experience. Along with that, I've been involved in my community. Like you said, I've served on several boards, Emory Telecom. I've been in many county boards. I've also was the Republican chair, and that let me forge some relationships that will be beneficial as I serve in the legislature. So know that I know how to get along with people. I know how to make coalitions that will bring us together and that will solve problems. I'm not afraid to tackle big issues like we did with the tax referendum. I'm not afraid to say, hey, this is wrong, and to stand up in the legislature and say, hey, we need to fight for rural Utah. We have a lot of people that get overwhelmed when they become a legislature, and it's understandable. We're a minority. You have to learn how to tell them and explain to them, especially the urban legislators, that, hey, if you want to fix your problems, fix ours, and it will help yours. It'll help alleviate those problems of pollution and traffic and congestion and transportation issues and water issues. All those things are alleviated when you help rural Utah. And as we show them that, hopefully then we'll be able to change the way that the legislature looks at rural Utah and funds rural Utah.
So unfortunately, we are running out of time, but is there any message you'd like to leave the voters with?
Just this, that if, you know, there's an old adage that says if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results, it's insanity. Remember, we have had the same legislators for a while. We really need to think about if we want new ideas, if we want ideas that are going to help our area. If you think that the property evaluations are going too high, if you're mad that we've gone from $15 billion to $30 billion in the last 10 years in our state spending, and you want that cut, we need to get new people in there. So it's time for a change. I'd hope that you would elect Tom Hansen in this upcoming June primary, and go to electtomhansen.com for further information. Thank you.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us. Again, Tom Hansen, candidate for State Legislature District 67. And for KOAL News, I'm Aiden Mortensen. For more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 or 750 AM, or listen on the Castle Country website.